This is Dennis Tech of Radio Birdman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today, meteorologist Hugh Johnson will preview the big snowstorm coming Friday. And we'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Look, this is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Rodney Shop in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that a mass food distribution event will take place at the Ravenna Queeman Selkirk campus at 2025 Route 9W in Ravenna on February 24th. Catholic Charities, the event organizer, is asking for volunteers to help. The distribution will be hosted by the district's unions. Volunteers are needed to help with the packing and distribution of food items. Volunteers are asked to arrive at the school campus at 8:45 a.m. the morning of the giveaway, February 24th. Foods to be handed out include fresh fruits and vegetables as well as other food items. The event will begin at 10 a.m. and will run while supplies last. Organizers ask that food recipients not arrive before 10 a.m. to lessen traffic. Recipients who are driving are asked to stay in their vehicle. Those who are walking should practice physical distancing. Everyone is asked to please wear a mask. Potential volunteers are asked to email volunteer at ccrda.org for more information. Read more about this story at theupstater.com. Ted Remsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the town of Cairo has qualified a $1.6 million in state-financed interest-free loans for water infrastructure projects for the town's completed well water project. Governor Kathy Hochul on February 15th announced the Environmental Facilities Corporation Board of Directors had approved $41 million in funding that includes low-cost loans and previously awarded grants for municipalities, including the funds set aside for Cairo. The town qualified for more than $1.6 million in long-term interest-free financing to develop additional groundwater source capacity to improve the park well site and existing finished water storage tank and more. Town Supervisor Jason Watts noted the funding was not a new source of revenue. Quote, we already received that money and we just finally got the 2019 report done, unquote, he said. Watts said the town now has a payment schedule in place to pay off the interest-free loan. January 2019, the town awarded a water infrastructure bid to F.P. Kane Construction in Vestal, Broome County, and the firm was paid $2.9 million. In May of that year, Kane began work on the town's water main, water tower, and hydrants. In total, the price tag for the project was more than $3.7 million. Watts said since the money for the project has already been spent, he wasn't sure how the town would fund potential repairs to the well, which he said is not working. Quote, it was never put in properly, unquote, the supervisor said. Quote, someone's got to fix this. Someone's got to explain to me why it's not working, unquote. The story does not mention the PFOS forever chemical found in the town's drinking water recently. The PFAS, or polyfluoroalkyl substances, form a group of contaminants, including PFOA and PFOS, that accumulates in the human body and cause cancer and thyroid problems. Firefighting foam was used for many years at the training center near Kara's town water well in the Angela Canna Park, causing the PFOS contamination. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Melissa Hale Spencer is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise that Gilderland is looking to follow the lead of its neighbor, Bethlehem, in giving tax breaks to residents who commit to leaving their land open. The town board will hold a hearing on the local law on March 15th. Quote, we want to make sure we have as many tools as possible to preserve open space, unquote, Gilderland Supervisor Peter Barber said. He told the town board last week that Gilderland is the third or fourth municipality in New York to get this legislation. He noted that the local law, once passed, would apply just to town tax breaks, not to county or school taxes. School taxes are the most significant. Once the law is adopted, Gilderland's five school districts will be asked to provide the same tax relief. Quote, but they don't have to. It's going to take a little bit of effort to reach out to these school districts and get them to understand the importance of the open space, unquote, he said. Gilderland's bill includes four levels of commitment, each with a different percentage of tax exemption. The longer the time commitment to keeping the land open, the greater the tax break, from a 50% tax break for a commitment of 15 to 29 years to a 90% tax break for a perpetual commitment. Some believe the proposal would shift the tax burden to other residents, but Barber asserted, quote, it is not, unquote. He said this is because land values typically increase. Board members Laura Bowles said, quote, this is a great plan that could help a lot of residents and lower your tax bill, unquote. Read more about the story in the Altamont Enterprise. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The WGXC Radio Awards are this Saturday on the radio, and this year, not just programmers can vote, but anyone who is a sustaining supporter of WGXC should have gotten an email with a link to a place to cast your ballot. So look in your email box if you're a WGXC sustaining supporter or a WGXC programmer and make votes today for the WGXC Radio Awards, which will be announced Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. on February 26th on 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, February 23rd. Early morning temperatures are 49 degrees in Twilight Park and 54 in Stissing. Enjoy it while you can, everybody. But take solace in the notion we're getting into the big swings of a possibly early spring. Mostly isolated rain sweeps through the area this morning, peaking at 10 a.m., then stopping at noon. Temperatures reach their peak of 58 degrees from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then the roller coaster begins to plunge. Winds kick up with 30-mile-per-hour wind gusts, and temperatures fall to 38 degrees by dark. Overnight, the winds die down and temperatures settle in at 21 degrees by dawn. Tomorrow will be dry with a high of 33 degrees around 4 p.m. After dark, the snow begins and falls all night. A low of 25 is expected, along with 4 inches of snow by dawn. Through the day, another 4 inches will fall and a high of 32 degrees happens at 3 p.m., making a period of dangerous melting before dark, when the snow comes to an end. 14 degrees overnight takes us into a dry Saturday with a high of 33. Sunday makes it to 40 with some light snow on the horizon. Sunset today will be at 5:23 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:36 a.m. Looking way up, we see a bunch of weak sunspots simmering on the surface are unlikely to cause flares today. A mid-latitude corona hole is releasing a plasma stream due to arrive early next week. Solar wind speed is currently 469 kilometers per second at 6.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 38. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of George Spencer of Kinderhook, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Latest reports indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a shelter.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you?
Now, from Survival, one of the nation's leading manufacturers, comes an economical combination steel and concrete block, civil defense approved fallout shelter, offering maximum protection from nuclear fallout and falling debris.
FHA approved, you need nothing down. 5 years to pay.
Will you be prepared in case of atomic attack?
Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout, see a Survival Shelter today.
And I scream, Mary, and I fall down. To Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Amanda.
Let's talk about what's in the theaters right now. I'm going to tell you about what is currently playing at the Wyndham New York Movie Theater, which is just called the Wyndham Theater. We have Uncharted, we have Dog, and we have Marry Me. And it's looking like the Wyndham Theater is now doing every day. They're showing movies 7 days a week. For a while, it was just on the weekends, but now maybe we're back in prime time. And you can find out more about the movies at WyndhamTheater.com. That's W-I-N-D-H-A-M Theater.com.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's playing at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. And you can find out that information at crandalltheater.org, because I'm just going to give you the broad strokes, because they have a lot of very specific show times. It looks like they're doing a lot of the Oscar-nominated movies, like they're showing special screenings of them. So, for example, this week we have Drive My Car, which is great. Definitely would recommend seeing that in the theater. They also have The Worst Person in the World, Belfast, West Side Story, Dune, The Power of the Dog, and Don't Look Up. All of these things are playing in the next month or so. And then it looks like more consistently they have a movie called Breaking Bread, Learning to Live Together. And also they're playing the Oscar-nominated shorts. So if you are interested in seeing any of those things, I would highly recommend going on over to crandalltheater.org to find out the specific showtimes so you can, you know, find out what everybody's talking about.
Find out what the buzz is about. I hope that Dune wins nothing, and I hope that Don't Look Up wins nothing.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm saying.
Wow.
Oh, I'm say in it.
I disagree about the first one. I strongly agree about the second one.
That's why we have a good show, Jenny. I think our show is good. It's because we disagree sometimes. We get to riff a little bit.
It's true. I agree. And I agree with that.
Okay, stop riffing. Okay, it's time for me to tell you what's at the
Get serious.
The two upstate film locations, Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, and the Star Cinema in Rhinebeck. But first, at Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, right now we have Cyrano, The Batman, The Worst Person in the World, Dog, and Death on the Nile. And then at Star Cinema, we have Oscar Shorts Animation, Oscar Shorts Live Action, The Worst Person in the World, Drive My Car, Breaking Bread, and Licorice Pizza. And you can find out more about showtimes at upstatefilms.org.
That's cool. I'm trying to see The Worst Person in the World, so maybe I'll head over there to see that. Let me tell you about TSL in Hudson, also known as Time Space Limited. They have not yet updated their calendar for March, so I'm just going to tell you about this upcoming weekend. But they currently have Winter Light, Through a Glass Darkly, The Velvet Queen, In the Mood for Love, and Solaris are playing at different times this weekend, which is pretty exciting. I would totally go see In the Mood for Love at a theater. Yeah. That would be thrilling. And they're also doing their classic showing of the National Theater Live. And they're also doing the Bolshoi Ballet, and they're also doing the Met Opera. So if you want to find out more information about any of those exciting programs, you can go to timeandspace.org.
Amazing. So last but not least, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson, otherwise known as the 8-Screen Cinema on Fairview Avenue. We have Dog, Uncharted. Dog. Uncharted, Marry Me, Death on the Nile, Jackass Forever, Sing 2, Encanto, and Spider-Man No Way Home. And you can find out more about the exact show times at spotlightcinemas.com.
Okay, just one more and then we're free. I'm going to tell you about just one more.
I'm so sorry. I said mine was last but not least, but I was wrong.
Well, I didn't even realize that you said that. I'm just going to give you a little taste of what's happening in Red Hook at the Lyceum Cinemas. We have, starting on Friday, a movie called Studio 666, which I saw and was like, ooh, cool, and then clicked on it. It's a movie about the Foo Fighters. So, you know, if that interests you, I do like Dave Grohl, but it doesn't sound that. Anyway, I'm going to move on. There's also Dog, Uncharted, Hotel Transylvania 4, Transformania, Death on the Nile, Jackass Forever, and Spider-Man No Way Home. You can still go see. Very thrilling.
This is Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Republican businessperson Harry Wilson is the latest Republican announcing a campaign to become governor. Wilson made his announcement February 22nd, a week before Republicans meet to formally designate their preferred candidates at their convention. Quote, I'm running for governor to turn around New York, unquote, Wilson wrote on Twitter. Quote, our state is totally broken. Rising crime, sky-high taxes, closed schools, corrupt politicians. I spent my career turning around failing organizations. Let's get this done, unquote. So far, Republican Representative Lee Zeldin has amassed more endorsements from Republican county chairs in New York State. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino and former Trump administration official Andrew Giuliani are also running in the June 28th primary to take on a Democrat. In 2010, Wilson lost to Democrat Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Read more about this story in New York State of Politics. The Times Union reports that despite relentless media coverage of anyone against wearing a mask to protect others during a global pandemic, a majority of New Yorkers want the state to wait for early March data on COVID-19 before lifting the mask mandate for schools. In the poll of registered New York voters released Tuesday by the Siena Research Institute, 58% want to wait before lifting the mask mandate. That's the position of Governor Kathy Hochul, who said she will revisit the scientific evidence in early March before deciding to remove masks from schools. The survey also found 45% of New Yorkers in favor of preserving the indoor mask mandate, while 31% said it should have ended earlier than it did, and 20% said it was lifted at the right time. Read more about this story in the Times Union. After a week with temperatures in the 50s, the Hudson Valley is getting a major snowstorm on February 25th. Quote, the details of that potential winter storm are still fuzzy, but some combination of snow, sleet, and freezing rain appear possible for our Friday, unquote. Hudson Valley Weather writes on Facebook, quote, we are going to be getting a winter storm later Thursday night and pretty much continuing through the day on Friday. Basically, the system is going to start out as a period of snow late Thursday night and pretty much continue through much of the day on Friday, unquote, said Brett Rathburn, meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Albany. Meteorologist Ben Knoll is currently predicting 3 to 6 inches of snow for the lower Hudson Valley, with Dutchess and Ulster counties possibly getting over 6 inches. The National Weather Service is not making snowfall amount predictions yet. Quote, heavy snow accumulations are possible, unquote, the Weather Service reported February 22nd. Quote, mixed precipitation, including sleet and freezing rain, is likely south of the heavy snow, unquote. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Who in the Lord's name does Putin think gives him the right to declare new so-called countries on territory that belonged to his neighbors?
A day after Russian President Vladimir Putin announced two separatist regions of Ukraine are now independent and sent troops into the region, President Joe Biden said the actions marked the beginning of an invasion. He also announced a series of allied sanctions targeting Russia's independent investment corporation, its military bank, and its sovereign debt.
At every step, we have shown the United States and our allies and partners are working in unison, which he hasn't been counting on, Mr. Putin.
During an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council, U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield warned of dire consequences.
If Russia invades Ukraine even further, we will see a devastating loss of life. Unimaginable suffering. Millions of displaced people will create a refugee crisis across Europe.
In his response to Putin's actions, Ukraine's president Volodymyr Zelensky said his nation will not concede.
We are on our land. We are not afraid of anything or anyone.
Members of Congress are discussing legislative responses, including a supplemental spending measure to help NATO allies and Ukraine. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham was among those who criticized Biden's actions as inadequate.
You said a couple of years ago that Putin does not want you to win because you're the only person that could go toe-to-toe with him. Well, right now, Mr. President, you're playing footsie with Putin and you're losing.
In light of the tensions, Germany is halting the controversial Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Europe is heavily dependent on Russian gas, and the undersea pipeline is meant to transport natural gas from the country into northern Germany. Back here in the States, Senator Richard Blumenthal and other Democrats are intensifying calls to pass the Gas Prices Relief Act. It would suspend the federal gasoline tax through the end of the year.
Consumers need and deserve this relief. They are struggling and hurting, and the gasoline tax of 18.4 cents adds true insult and injury to the injury that they're suffering already as a result of this rising inflation.
Critics say it's an election year gimmick instead of a long-term solution to inflation. A new review of congressional campaign finances reveals a spike in spending for personal security. According to QR Roll Call, both parties disclosed nearly $3 million for security-related expenses last year. That's an increase of nearly 700% compared with the 2019-2020 election cycle. Politicians have reported receiving more death threats following the January 6th attack at the Capitol. Law enforcement agencies in D.C. are asking the National Guard for assistance to support security ahead of Biden's first State of the Union address next week. There are reportedly concerns about a possible demonstration similar to the blockades by truck drivers in Canada protesting vaccine mandates. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Wednesday, February 23rd. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. The Synth Eclectico Show with synthesized music is on at 10 a.m. The Hudson Cafe with Maria Manhattan and music from the American Songbook is on at 11 a.m. Spike Priggen is live from Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill with 2 hours of the Bedazzled Radio Hour at noon after the local news. WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Hudson, 4 p.m. with Kamal Johnson, Ed Mack, Jaden Cross, India Cross, Vern Cross, Ross and others. 7 p.m. we're live from New York City with a simulcast from WBAI, the Off the Hook show from the 2600 Hacker Collective, talking technology. Then Neva Wartell has music for the masses at 8 p.m. So much samba tonight. And the Mystery Machine is live at 10 p.m. with Clara Pohl playing house, disco, funk, and more until midnight on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I have a request to hear music on your radio station. The artist is Roshan Roland Kirk. The name of the song is Blackness, B-L-A-C-K-N-U-S-S. Thank you.
Now we gathered here on the universe at this time, this particular time, to listen to the 36 black notes of the piano. There's 36 black notes and 52 white notes. We don't mean to eliminate nothing, but we're going to just hear the black notes at this time, if you don't mind. Blackness. B-L-A-C-K-N-U-S-S.
Thank you.
The Hudson schools are hosting community budget workshops on March 1st, March 15th, and April 5th ahead of the school vote on the budget. You can turn out to learn more about the proposed budget for the Hudson schools this year on either March 1st, March 15th, or April 5th, and find out more about these events in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. The WGXC Radio Awards are this Saturday on the radio, and this year, not just programmers can vote, but anyone who is a sustaining supporter of WGXC should have gotten an email with a link to a place to cast your ballot. So look in your email box if you're a WGXC sustaining supporter or a WGXC programmer, and make votes today for the WGXC Radio Awards, which will be announced Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. on February 26th on 90.7 FM. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And joining us now is meteorologist Hugh Johnson. Hello, Hugh.
Hey, how you doing there?
So I guess we'll start with a little bit of a retrospective. So what can you tell us about what's happening right now?
Well, I can tell you that we've had a very up and down temperatures going on. We're going to actually see temperatures rise tonight, fall tomorrow, and then we're going to see a, it looks like, our biggest snowstorm of the season come Friday. It should be a pretty good one, 6 to 12 inches. It may mix with a little sleet, but we're not going to get a sleet bomb like we got 2 weeks ago. It's going to be mostly a snowstorm. So we do have some interesting weather coming along, and winter is certainly far from over yet. Now, as far as what happened in the past, January, we were colder than normal, but guess what? It was still the warmest January on record, beating out 2016 worldwide, but we happened to be in the cold corner, so we were a little bit colder than normal here in the Northeast.
I thought it was very surprising that January was actually warmer on record, where it felt kind of cold, but I guess there were a lot of swings. We had some warm days in between. Can you talk about how January stands?
Yeah, well, again, for us locally, it was a mostly cold month. It was 2/3 of the days were colder than normal, but the eastern chunk of the country, especially the Northeast, had a colder than normal January, but the rest of the country and much of the rest of the planet was above normal. So we were in the cold pocket. That happens every now and then. And, you know, and here's another thing to put perspective. Our average was 19.7 degrees, which is 4 degrees below normal. But that's the new adjusted 30-year average. It's up 3.5 degrees from where we were in 1970. So back in 1970, this would have been a normal January, or closer to a normal January.
Wow, that is so interesting. Hey, Hugh, I want to ask you something that's been on my mind for a while. This segment, we're calling it the Climate Update, and we're talking about climate, yet we also talk about weather. And I wonder if you have a professional distinction between the terms climate and weather.
I do, but let me start out saying that there's no exact line where weather becomes climate, but weather is short-term changes in the atmosphere, changes in temperature, dew point, pressure, and wind, and climate is a longer-term weather change. Like, think of it as like an index fund or a personality, and it basically defines an area over a certain amount of time. Generally speaking, we talk about it in 30-year or 10-year increments, whereas weather we talk about in hourly, daily, and perhaps monthly. But there's no exact line where it crosses from weather to climate. But climate is long-term, weather short-term changes.
That's really helpful. And, you know, that sort of comports with the way I understand it. Now, I've got another question for you. Do you remember back in the day, at some point it used to be, we all used the phrase global warming. And then it seemed like everybody started saying climate change instead. I want to know what you think about these two terms, your experience of them, just for starters.
Okay, well, Kathy, that's a very good question. And I'm going to give you, this is going to be more my opinion, but see, the problem, the Earth is warming. We have warmed 1 degree Celsius since the pre-revolutionary times, a solid 1 degree, and we're continuing to warm every year. But at the same time, we've had other aspects of the climate that are changing. It's getting drier in the west, wetter in the east. We're getting more storms, more erratic weather. So in my humble opinion, climate change is actually a more integral description of what's going on compared to just global warming. To me, global warming almost sounds, to me, almost like more benign, whereas climate change, is, which is more complex, is what's really going on because, again, we're getting wetter here in the east. We're not just getting warmer, we're getting wetter. So it's more, it's not just about the warming, although ultimately the warming is the thing that could very well do us in, but also we're getting wetter and drier. So it's complicated. And
no,
once in a while,
I absolutely take your point. That totally resolves the matter for me.
Cool.
Except that I wonder, I mean, you're absolutely, I totally get it. Climate change encompasses things that are not strictly about warming. Point taken. Yes. But it also feels benign. Both those terms, climate change and global warming, feel pretty benign to me. And I wonder if we might, if maybe it's time for a new term. Perhaps
climate peril.
I'm saying, is that your own? Did you come up with that, or is that a thing people are saying now?
I came up with it, but probably other people. I mean, you know, the book was written called Peril and things like that. So it's not, the word's been thrown around quite a bit, but climate peril. I mean, I kind of came up with that with my talk. I don't know if somebody else probably has, but I think that kind of sums it up a little bit because it isn't cheery. That's for sure. It's not all roses.
No, and I think that, I mean, the trend has been that people aren't concerned enough. It doesn't feel dire enough. So I, for one, am going to try to enforce a habit of just using the phrase climate peril every time I need to say it. So one more question before I want to turn it back over to Sina. You know, kind of going back to this distinction between weather and climate, before we became aware of climate change, climate peril, we just, I mean, I suppose professionals talked about climate, or you talk about the climate of the northern states or the southern states or agricultural zones or whatever, growing zones. But now it seems like every time we experience the weather, we experience it in relation to wondering about climate change. And it's not just the weather anymore. It almost bodes well or bodes ill. I know
what you're saying. Here's what I say about that. Every time you hear about a horrific weather event, one weather event does not dictate climate change or climate peril. But what's been happening is we're having more and more of these unusual weather events. In fact, in my talk, I'm going to talk about this. The number of natural disasters is going up, is increasing just like the temperature over the years. We're getting more and more $1 billion disasters, and that's including adjusting inflation that has happened. If you compare back to 1980, you can see a very strong uptick of natural disasters. Now, that's climate change. One event, not necessarily, but as we get more and more of them, that's climate. So weather is one event, maybe, but when you start getting a bunch of hurricanes and disasters happening, that's climate change.
I hear you, and that's really helpful. So what would you say to people who are saying, oh, well, there's no such thing as climate change? It was really cold just last week.
Well, you're going to get that. You're going to look what happened in Texas last year. They had that epic cold. Because you were warming the Arctic faster, you're weakening the polar vortex. And by the way, the polar vortex has been around a long, long time, regardless of what the Weather Channel and other people are making it sound like it's something new. It's been around longer than us.
I just discovered
it. You're weakening that polar vortex. Yeah. And you're bringing cold air, you're bringing these cold shots of air down, and you can bring epic cold down. It doesn't last as long, but it can be just as extreme, just about as extreme in one particular area. So, yeah, you can get that with climate change. You can get huge snowstorms. I remember in New York City, they got 20 inches of snow once, and they were all cursing Al Gore, saying he was a phony baloney or whatever, because they had a big snowstorm. You're going to get stuff like that. You're going to get cold and warm, warm, but still plenty of cold weather, as we have found out in last January, and we're going to find out on Friday when we get a snowstorm. So we're still going to have cold weather, folks. It's not changing. And one more thing before we let that topic go. If the Gulf Stream shuts down, which it could, that would suddenly reverse the warming trend to cooling across, it could, across Europe and the Northeast, our area. So keep that in mind, that, again, this is why we call it climate change. It's not necessarily all about global warming.
So you have the talk coming up, climate peril, really trying to get people to understand the immediacy of this. But unlike other social movements, people aren't really feeling the same effects. People aren't really living it in the same ways that may have prompted the civil rights movement or, voting right. There, all these different movements, people felt it in a different way. What are some ways that you can connect it to people? What are some ways that you find are very effective in getting people to really understand the immediacy of action here?
Look at the science. Just look at the science. The fact that the Earth has warmed a degree since the pre-industrial revolution age, since 1970, and all projections are we're going to rise at least another degree Celsius by 2060, and we could go up to 5 degrees warmer than normal by 2100.
But these are still numbers. These are numbers in the future that often we don't feel it, and especially because we're feeling all these, facts, all these really, there's a lot of terrible things happening, and we tend to kind of shut down. So how do you make this real?
You talk about what's happening in Miami right now, where they're getting king tides. You're already getting some flooding from coastal inundation, even without storms. And you show pictures and you tell that we're already seeing coastal inundation, even without storms. And that's because the sea level is rising. And that's only going to get worse when the ice caps continue to melt. You just got to keep pounding away at people and letting them know. And it's really important to let the millennials and the Zers, Generation Z, know this, because they're the ones that are going to really own it right now. I don't want to blow the older people like me. We're going to be not around as long. That's all there is to it. And it's that generation, those generations, that I think are going to really have to change things around before it's too late. And we are running out of time.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yes, for climate change and for the radio show. So we do have to wrap it up. Luckily, you gave us a bit of a forecast in the beginning. Any last things you want to say about the snowstorm coming up before we head on out?
Yeah, just make sure you have your snowblowers ready. And let me give you real quickly one more time my talk. It's going to be at the First Unitarian Church on 405 Washington Avenue in Albany at 7 p.m. on Monday evening, 7 p.m. If you come, you have to wear a mask. That's just the rules, folks. But you can always do Zoom.
Thank you so much, Hugh, for joining us. We'll have that climate peril information in the description for this segment when we upload it to our website, mediasanctuary.org. Thanks, Hugh.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Broken down shell, he went down, 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 sleeping in the
I say to you, this statement is false. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is true, then the statement is true. And if the statement is false, then the statement is false. This statement is false. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is true, then the statement is false. And if the statement is false, then the statement is true. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And I'd like to give you a simple example of this. If I say to you, let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is false, then the statement is true. And if the statement is true, then the statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. There are always statements that can be neither proved nor disproved. This statement is true. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is false, then the statement is true. And if the statement is true, then the statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. If the statement is true, then the statement is true. And if the statement is false, then the false statement is true. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. If I say to you, this true statement is false. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If I say to you, if the true statement is false, then the statement is false. And if the false statement is false, then the statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. If the false statement is true, then the statement is true. Just think about this statement forever. If the true statement is false, then the statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes into a loop. If the true statement is false, then the statement is true. And if the statement is true and false, then the statement is true, true, true. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. Then this false statement is true, false. And if the true statement is false, then the statement is true, false, forever. And we get into a true loop forever. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is true, and if the statement is false, then there's no way we can ever show that the statement is either true or false. This statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop. forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever. If the statement is forever, then forever is the statement, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop which goes on forever, and we get into a loop.
Have you guessed the riddle yet?
We get into a loop which goes on forever, on forever. We get into a loop which goes on forever.
Conclusion?
Which goes on forever.
Whatever people want is true, even if it isn't.
May I repeat that?
Now you say, how can we make a statement it's true even if it isn't?
Statement is false.
Who can say it isn't?
True.
Who can say what is? Who can say it isn't?
That's exactly what we
who
want.
Who can say what is?
Do it again.
Feelings are facts. So who is to say what's a fact?
Yeah. That's exactly what we want. Do it again.
There is no reality.
No.
There's no absolute.
No.
There's no objectivity.
It's true.
There's no right and wrong.
One. I've got a gun.
There's no basis to criticize anybody. There's only people's arbitrary desire.
Wow. Who would be silly enough to carry an unloaded firearm?
Infinitely repeated over and over and over again. Just as it is now is to be infinitely repeated over and over and over again.
That's what you suggest.
Shut the loop off now. Can you turn that loop off?
Difficult for all of us. It's difficult to understand that it's possible that other people don't process information that we seem to have. It's very difficult for all of us because we all have brains and they seem to be the same.
Efficiency equals death.
Think though, perhaps you eliminate everything except the one answer.
The experiment requires that you continue.
Well, it could be this, it's either this or that.
Ed, I've got news for you. No brain.
What?
When you allow yourself to be confused.
No brain.
When you're kind of confused about something.
No brain.
All of us can't imagine it.
What?
All of us. It's all of us or none of us. Well, I wonder what would happen if you allow yourself to be confused.
No brain.
Well, I wonder what would happen if we can't.
Which is easiest to do? Undiscover the fish. Or discover the riddle. Take a minute to think about it, and then guess.
Who says it's got to go on the experiment?
Go away!
Tolerate uncertainty. Tolerating uncertainty. Tolerating uncertainty. M, uncertainty, being tolerated.
Enormous amount of hostility in you that would explain perhaps why you may be